good afternoon or good morning. In one of the songs, it says, I serve a living service. I serve a living Savior. And just the time I need him, he's always near. That's why I need him. And I serve the living Savior. In the Bible, there are about 300 mountains and 230 valleys. Many of them have significant meaning, spiritual meaning, and something to learn from. Jerusalem was on the mountain, has 12 gates. One of the gates lead to a valley called the Gate of Valley Gate. The Word of God, like on the mountain, and it opens doors for us to valleys. There are many valleys in the Bible, and the Word of God wants us to go to these valleys and learn lessons from it. We should not forget that our lives are not only on the mountains, but also in the valleys, up and down. Sometimes we are happy, sometimes we have troubles and difficulties. So it's up and down. In 1 Kings chapter 20, there was a king, his name is Ben-Hadad. He is king of Syria. He came with 32 other kings to fight, to make a war with Ahab, the king of Israel. But the Lord delivered the people of God, the people of Israel, to the opposite. He delivered Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, to the hand of his people. Then in verse 23, the servants of King Ben-Hadad said to him that their gods, that Israel's gods, are gods of hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, in the valley, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And notice that people don't know our God. They said their gods, like heathen gods that we worshiping idols like them. Their gods are gods of mountains. We have only one God, living God, strong God. People in the world don't know him, but we know who is our God. He's the God of mountains, and he's the God of valleys as well. Not our God is a rock and not as their rock. They have no rock. They are sand. But we have a rock, a God. Our God is a rock. So we read in verse 28 of 1 Kings chapter 20, and there came a man of God and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said the Lord is the God of the hills and he is not God of the valleys, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And in verse 29, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 1,000 footmen in one day. Look, the Lord doesn't care if there are people in the world. No, if he's a God of mountains or a God of valleys. He said that you might know. It's you have to learn, you have to know that our God is the God of mountains and God of the valleys. He doesn't want us to show off to the other people. He wants to show you. In our book, hymn book, number 335, says, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. This song, the words were taken from the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon. There it says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Not just one valley. I don't know what's your valley. Everybody has a valley today, maybe, different. But the Lord Jesus is the lily of the valleys. In your valley, you have a lily there. It is the Lord Jesus. When you see nobody around you, and everything is like grass, nothing, if you open your eyes, you will see there is a valley. There is a lily smiling for you. He is the lily of the valleys. Every valley, he is there to rescue you, to help you, to sustain you, to support you, to answer your prayers. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 16, all forsook me, all abandoned me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The psalmist also in Psalm 127 and verse 10, my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord took me in. So the Lord is there in your valley. And this morning, I want to meditate together with a valley called the Valley of Baca. Valley of Baca. And before we go to Psalm 84, we go to Psalm 104 and verse 10. 104 and verse 10. He sends forth springs in the valleys. They flow between the mountains. The right translation is, he causes springs to gush forth. In other words, springs gush from nowhere. It's not there all the time. So the Lord wants to gush a spring here, he does it. It comes out. It bursts out, it comes. That's what the Lord does. And it goes between the mountains. And now let us go to Psalm 84 and read from verses 5 to 8. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. each one appears before God in Zion. The word Baca is a Hebrew word, and it's Arabic word too. And it means weeping. In the Hebrew alphabet, it is exactly like the Arabic alphabet. Add to that six more letters, makes 28, becomes Arabic letters. Psalm 119 consists of 22 sections, are the 22 alphabet of the Hebrews. It started with Aleph, which A, Beh, B, Gim, G, it's different, D, Dal, Dal. There is a song in our language. You could say the whole letters in a song. It put them in words. Abgad Hawas Hoti Kalamun. That's all the 22 letters. Abgad A B G D. Hawas H He Wow Zin. Hawas H Wow Zin H He Wow Z. That's all the letters. It's written that way in the 119 Psalms. Alib Begim the Abgad Hawas Hoti. That's all. So there are many words in Hebrew or in Arabic. You know, in the Middle East, there were a lot of invasions. And the people there, the culture is one now. You know, everything there, Turkish, the same thing, Irish, Iran, Syria, the Jews, everything the same, the culture, the plantation, the everything. Yeah, don't forget that Israel were in Egypt, Israel were in Assyria, and the Assyrians were in Israel, and they were totally mixed, and especially from the book of Daniel, you have the Assyrian, Nebuchadnezzar. You have the Medo-Persian, Iran. You have the Greek. You have the Romans. That's all over there. So it's a mixed, and the words are the same most of the time. There is a reference in the Bible about Baca. Two of them in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. But the word is not used, Baca. They translated it to mulberry. It's Baca in the Psalm 84 is Baca, but in Old Testament and the New Testament, it's about a tree, which they call it mulberry, the translation. Some translated balsam, some translated poplar, but originally it is Baca. The tree of Baca is a very huge tree, very strong and huge tree. Its root goes deep into the ground. The branches started from the ground. This had no stem. The branches started from the ground and goes all the way up to the top. It is very strong. But the branches or the leaves, when you break it, it bleeds. It has a sap. The water comes out of it. That's why they call it the Baca tree, the tree of weeping. It's a weeping tree. It speaks about you, about me, about Christians, about believers. You are rooted in the house of God. You are strong, unshakable. The wind doesn't shake you. Unmovable. But in the same time, you are very tender, compassionate, sensitive. Your tears comes to your eye very quickly. You shed tears more than anybody else. Statistic on the computer says that women in the world weep more than men, 5 to 2. Not only that, but the duration of their weeping is twice as much as the men. In the Bible, that's not true. While in the Bible, we have women wept, Ruth wept, Hannah wept, Esther, Mary Magdalene, the widows in Joppa, and many others wept. But also, there are long lists of faithful men, cried, wept, and these are Job, Joseph, David and Jonathan, Elisha, Hezekiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Paul, Timothy, John, even Jesus himself. They all wept and cried. When we go back to the subject of the Philistines, in in one of the incidents of David in the book of Second Samuel, at the end of Second Samuel, before he was king, he had 400 men, mighty of valor, strong men. And they were in the city of Ziklag. And they went away for 3 days. And they came back to their city, and they found nobody there. The children were taken, the women were taken, all the property possession were taken, and the city was burned. The Amalekite, they invaded that city, and they took everybody and went away. So the men came, and saw nobody there. They lost their families, lost their wives, their children. Even David himself lost his wives. And the strong men, the mighty men, started to cry, weep. And the Bible says that there was no more power. All the tears are gone from their eyes. They were dried, no more. And they wanted to stone David. But they went to the Lord with their tears, with their crying, and asked the Lord, if we go after them, you will deliver them. Of course, the Lord saw the tears in their eyes. When the Lord see the Lord, that when the Lord see tears in your eye, he can't help it. The Lord moves immediately. He can't take it. I'm telling you, the Lord can't take it. If you come crying with tears in your eyes, you will move the Lord. And he went, and they restored their families. Here we're speaking about somebody. Amalek is the type of the flesh. He took somebody from you here, right? We pray. Did you shed tears? We need to shed tears to bring back the lost ones. We need tears. You have to shed tears and come with tears in your eyes to the Lord. And when he sees your tears, then he understands and he knows you, that you mean business. And you move him, and he will do what you're looking for. Peter went out and wept sorely, bitterly for his sin. And the Lord restored him. Tears is very important. When I was born of my mother womb, I started crying. And they were happy that I came to the world, to the world of woe. They were happy and I was crying. They didn't know that what I'm going to face in my life. But when I came to the Lord, I wasn't saved until I cried. You know, when I wept, he saved me. I had 3 days, one day after the other, going after the Lord to save me. He did not. The first time, they say, you need to have a clean heart. I went, okay, Lord, give me a clean heart. Please give me a clean heart. But the Lord didn't answer me. The second day, he said, you have to be persistent to show that you really need business. You mean business. So I went home and all the night say, I mean business. I'm not going to leave you like Jacob did. Save me. And didn't happen. So I said, there is no such thing called salvation. Forget about it. Well, let me try that last day. So when I went there, I saw myself. I saw my shame. And I started to weep, cry about myself, shed tears. And the Lord touched me immediately and forgave me and changed me, washed me. It's like the woman, the sinful woman. She came to the Lord and came to his feet with her tears in her eyes. She was repenting for sure, for real. And when the Lord saw that, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Shed tears. Tears as if are important. It's a dynamic weapon. But here in America, the tears are not much. Not much here in America. But you go to the Middle East, you go to maybe the Caribbean now, to the crisis which happened in Bahamas. Yeah, Bahamas. The people are weeping there. They're crying. And the Lord will help them. They will heal them. The Lord is touching their hearts there. And many will be saved there today. Yes. So let us go back to Psalm 84. And it says in verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highway to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pool. Now, this verse here, the rain, the early rain also covers it with pools, is not in Arabic or Hebrew language. It's not. It is, says, with blessings they cover Mora. That's in Arabic, in Hebrew. With blessings they cover Mora. Actually, they are speaking about them. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of spring, and then they go from strings to strings. I don't know why they change it to rain. But they, with blessing, they cover Mora. It's the believer. It's the saints. The saints, they go into the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. They make it springs. All right? They cover Mora, the bitter things. They make it, they cover it. They make it a blessing. Okay? And they also go from strength to strength. And notice that these believers here, they are going to Zion. They are going to the house of the Lord. And they had to go through the valley of Baca. You cannot go to heaven without Baca. You cannot go to heaven without this valley. The valley of Baca is the way to Zion. As I told in the beginning, Jerusalem has a gate, 12 gate. One of the gates are the gate of the valley, this valley of Baca. You have to go up through the valley of Baca to go to the house of the Lord, to go to heaven. You have to go in a lot of tribulation, as the Paul says. It is, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he said, we must, through much tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. The valley of Baca is not our destination. It's not our home. The valley of Baca is just a way to go through. And we have to. We have to go through it. Let's go back again to Psalm 104 and verse 10 to look at it in a different way. He sends the springs into the valley, they flow among the hills. How the Lord sent springs in the valleys to flow among the hills. You know the word spring? Spring is in Hebrew, Arabic, is uyun. Uyun, that's springs. Eyes also is springs, is uyun, it's the same thing. Uyun is eyes, uyun is springs. It depends on the sentence, all right? So the Lord makes springs from your eyes. Your eyes, your tears. Gives water to the people. Quench their thirst. Give them blessing. From your eyes, the tears of your eyes, when you cry, you make the valley a way for a place of springs. You know why you are here? Why you are going into the valley? Why we're going into the world? We're not taken right away because the Lord wants to be a blessing to other people. Samuel's mother, the Bible says she wept sorely. She wept sore. Whom did she weep for? She came to the Lord and she wept for him. What was the result? The result was a spring. What is the spring? Samuel. Her tears brought Samuel. And you know the Bible says there, at those days, the word of the Lord was rare. And the vision was scarce. Who brought the Lord back to speak, to talk to the people, to give him blessing? It's Hannah. And Samuel's mother, her tears. She cried, she wept, she made springs in her country, in her, within her people. Even the Lord Jesus, himself went through the valley of Baca. He was not exempted from the valley of Baca. The Bible says Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because he saw Martha and Mary weeping. So when he sees you weeping, he weep with you. That's the Bible teach. Joyful with those who are joyful, and the weeping with those who are weeping. If the Lord said, teach that, how come he doesn't do it? He does it. So he is rejoicing with you, and he is weeping with you. So he was weeping with Martha and Mary. And not only that, he was weeping because Lazarus died. Why? Because he loved Lazarus. Why? Because Lazarus was of Bethany. You know what Bethany is? The only house the Lord found rest. The only house the Lord sleeps there and eat there. Coming back and forth, go to Bethany. This is his house. He has no other house. He left the house of mother and brothers and sisters. And he said about the disciples, you are my family. But the best family for him was the house of Bethany. Bethany. Even before he goes to the cross, the last stop was in Bethany, in that house. When he comes back on the Mount of Olives, Bethany is in the Mount of Olives. He'll be there in that house. He went up to the heaven from Bethany, from the Mount of Olives, near to the house of Bethany. There is a subject about Bethany, beautiful subject about Bethany. But Bethany was his favorite house. There he found rest. When the Lord Jesus found rest in your house, and he loves to be in you, with you, in your family, oh boy, when you die, he'll miss that. He will cry in your funeral. Yes, he will. He will miss that. He knows that. Of course, he knows you will come to him. He knows, of course, you're going to be rise up again. He knows of that. He knows that he's going to raise up Lazarus. But he missed the fellowship of that house. The Lord misses that fellowship. He won't find it here again after you go. That's once you go in the world, the Lord cannot find this fellowship with you because you're gone. He will miss it, and he will weep for it. In my funeral, you have to remember that the Lord will be weeping there. I'm not waiting for you to weep, but I know the Lord will weep for me. The Lord Jesus also wept on the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was blind, know what we're waiting for her, and the destruction will come to her because of rejecting him. So the Lord wept on the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible speaks to us about Jeremiah in the Old Testament also. He wept for the city of Jerusalem. And there in Jeremiah, he said, oh, that my head were waters, my eyes fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. He wanted to cry for her healing. He wanted more water, fountain of water in his head to cry for her. The weeping of Jeremiah caused the restoration of Jerusalem after 70 years. So how much more the weeping of the Lord Jesus? The weeping of the Lord Jesus for the city of Jerusalem will heal Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Israel will be restored, will be back. Why? Because the Lord Jesus wept for her. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5, the Lord Jesus wept for himself. In Hebrews 7, 5, he says, who in the day of his flesh offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from the death and was heard in that he feared. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the result of his weeping. He says in the day of his flesh, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from the death, and he was heard because he cried, because he shed tears before the Lord, before God the Father. He was raised from that death because his tears and resurrection, death and resurrection, he made springs of water in the world. You one of them. You are a spring of water. You are the result of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his tears and death and resurrection, that you became a living water, living water. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping is like a stranger. When you have a house and then you get a visitor, a guest, a stranger, maybe unwanted. So you say, well, he was going to sleep over and we'll go in the morning. Praise God. So tears are the same. It comes in the night, and in the morning they go. They have no place in our life. They just pass through. The Bible says that God in heaven will wipe away all our tears. Everyone, every drop will wipe all our tears. John in Patmos, when he was in heaven and the Bible says he was weeping. He wept because of the scroll. He was looking around. He couldn't see anybody. Well, he missed the point. He didn't see the Lord. That's why he was weeping. Look, in heaven there is no weeping. In heaven, God will wipe away all our tears. John was mistaken. There is no weeping in heaven. Weeping is here. In Psalm 56 and verse 98, the psalmist knew what his tears mean and what the Lord will do with it. Then he said in Psalm 56, 98, Lord, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Look, your tears will not go away. You will find them there. I don't know how big it is. Is it 4 ounces, 8 ounces, 12 ounces? I don't know. But the more you tears, the more you weep here, the more you give chance to the Lord to comfort you there and wipe your tears drop by drop. And finally, I might finish early, but let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And reading from verse 4 to verse 6. there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done. He put a stamp and he said, It is done. Not only on the cross it is done, but your life through the wilderness is also done. And the Lord put a stamp and says, It is done. And he signed. Look, he said, I am. He put his signature. He says, I am. The title, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You have a promissory note here, my friend. You could take it home with you. It's the Lord promised for you, and he said, It is done. He wiped all your tears, and he is the Alpha and Omega. Everything is in his hand, and he is there for you. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. You meant good for us. You gave us tears. You put water in our eyes. That's for a reason. It's just to come to you and shed these tears before you to obtain more than we think and expect and deserve. Thank you for all the valleys, and you are the lily of the valleys. And wherever we are, we will find you there. Thank you for being for us from the beginning to the end, from the Alpha to the Omega. We give you the glory this morning. Amen.